Shalom and good evening from Galilee, from Israel. I'm Amir Tzarfati from our old office, and we are very excited, getting ready to move next month to Connect. Thankfully, things are going on well there, and we are going to have a wonderful variety of programs for all of you, literally all throughout the week, every week. And so it's good to be here with you again. I've been quiet and silent for a while online because the main way for me to give you information has been and is even today Telegram. And I hope you understand that in every other platform, I am not allowed to share the things that I can share there. And so let's start with a prayer and then we'll dive into your questions regarding the Israel-Hamas war. But we'll talk more and definitely relate to what happened yesterday in Damascus and the war that is much greater than just the one in Gaza. So, Father, we thank you very much for an opportunity to be able to be alive in these days that you first saw, you wrote about, you may have even designed and for your purposes. And Father, we now ask that you will allow us to open the eyes of our hearts to wonder your truth and to try and understand with all the confusion and the deception that is all around the world, try and understand what really is going on here. I thank you for this platform that you have allowed us to have here in Galilee, in Israel. And I pray, Father, that many will find comfort and encouragement from today's broadcast. We thank you and we bless you. In the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. So again, shalom, everyone. This is Amir Tzarfati, and I'm live from Galilee, from Israel. And this is a special Q&A regarding the war in Gaza, but we'll talk more about other things, such as the thing that happened in Damascus yesterday, where Israel eliminated two major generals in the Iranian Revolutionary Guards and their assistants. Altogether, there's over 12 different casualties there, and Iran is threatening nonstop ever since. But again, we'll talk also about other things that happened. This is not a Middle East update. It's not going to be old news. It's answering your questions regarding the war because you're flooded with disinformation, deception. And I'm telling you, this is exactly why I'm not writing everything and communicating only through the traditional social media platforms. Because they will not really be able to give you the correct information. And to remind you folks, I am saying that over and over again, and I hope finally that everybody gets it. It is Telegram that you need to have if you want to stay connected. This is the QR code right there that you can scan. The little ad will stay here next to me for a few minutes so you can scan this, and please, this is where I can put videos and maps and photos and a lot of some very confidential information that I would not want Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to shadow ban. So this is it, folks, and let's jump right into your questions. So first of all, these are questions that we're now retrieving from the feed. The first one is a question that Daniel is asking. You stated in one of your previous updates that the date is already decided when to deal with Hezbollah. Would the Samson option be on the table to deal with a massive strike on Israeli soil? Well, for those who may not understand, the Samson option is that we go all the way with nuclear. And I mean, if they are about to destroy us, we destroy them first. And let, as Samson said, let my soul die with the Philistines. This is the end of the end of no other option is left. And honestly, if you read in the Bible, we're not going to use it. We're not going to use it. God is there for us. Now, you know, the military has to prepare and governments have to prepare. I wish they all followed exactly what the Bible says when it comes to what's going to happen. But I don't think we're going to choose that option. That option is always there, but I don't think Israel wants to commit a suicide while it destroys the enemies all around it. I think this is not an option that biblically we see that is going to be chosen. We have another important question that Julie asked. Does Israel make use of the weapons and ammo that they confiscate? No, we don't use the AK-47s and all the Russian, North Korean and Chinese-made weapons. We don't trust it. We are not, you know, we're not trained to use these things. We're trained to use our weapons, and that's why what we do, we take it and we just destroy it. That's what we do. We also have Debbie asking, when there are occasions when it's unsafe to blow up a tunnel, why can't the IDF just fill the entrance with cement? Well, first of all, the only option for us to skip a tunnel is if it's just not important, if it's a small one between places where we already took care of business, or if we suspect that there are hostages there and therefore cement is not going to help anyway. We have blown up probably hundreds of tunnels, but it's going to take us at least 2 years to clean Gaza from the 300 miles length of tunnels that they have worked on in the last 17, 18 years. We have Darla asking, in Ezekiel 38, it says Israel will be unwalled, secure. Would that be at the time of the peace treaty that the Antichrist makes with Israel? No. Darla, I believe that this is going to be the outcome of this war. We're going to decisively win, and we will have even further peace with our neighbors, such as Saudi Arabia and others. And I do believe that Israel is going to stay in Gaza and also in parts of the West Bank and even be able to control pieces of, or at least what's going on in southern Lebanon. So we will not be depending anymore on walls and fences and security cameras, which, as you know, on October 7th did not really quite prove themselves to be the best option. We have Linda asking, with Israel being attacked on all sides, will the peace treaty after the rapture be the fake peace to Israel? Well, I don't want to talk about after the rapture because no one knows the day and the hour. I cannot tell you it's going to be after the rapture. I can tell you, though, that I do believe with all of my heart that this war that we see right now will end up in a peace that will then bring the Ezekiel war that will end up with that fake peace. So we still have, you know, some ways to go. We need to get over this obstacle right now. And thankfully, everyone we fight with right now, these are either Iran or its proxies. That's it. We don't have wars with other countries. I mean, we don't fight the Iraqi government and Iraqi military or the Syrian military. We fight the Iranian or the pro-Iranian proxies. And so right now, I believe Israel is going to be very victorious, if you ask me. I think what we did yesterday in Damascus, we made it very clear to the Iranian Ayatollahs that at broad daylight in the middle of their very friendly city, where they feel like they control it and are the lords of it, we destroyed an annex of the embassy where we know and everyone knows it's not exactly a consulate. It is a military headquarters of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. And we destroyed it. And all of these people who were sitting there plotting against us are no longer there. So that's as far as this one is concerned. We have people that are asking me, Maureen, she's asking me, I've been praying diligently for the hostages. Is there any word on the Bibas family? The only thing we know about the Bibas family is that the Hamas months ago said that they're not alive, at least the mother and the children, because we do know that the father is alive. But again, Hamas lied quite a few times about hostages that happened to be alive. They just needed some leverage. But we don't have more information about them beside that. When we have concrete information about some hostage that is no longer alive, we immediately tell his parents. We immediately tell the family. We immediately inform them that he is now a dead body held by Hamas. And we've done that in quite a few occasions, unfortunately. Look, there's 134 hostages held there, but not all of them are alive. In fact, I would be very careful to say that, but probably more than half are not alive. So again, that's one of the things that they do. They are basically negotiating and dealing with dead bodies. That's who they are. These are the monsters they are, and we should not deal with them at all. We have, who else? We have John asking, will this war lead to the Ezekiel war? John, I do believe that we're going to humiliate Iran and its proxies. I do believe that eventually Russia's upper hand in Ukraine and the defeat of Iran, the defeat of Erdogan, wherever he is right now in his own country, and the financial problems of all of these, I believe that all of that will eventually lead to them attacking strong, safe, and prosperous Israel. So for that to happen, we need to be strong, safe, and prosperous, which is only if we are victorious in this war. So I do believe that. I believe that we're going to end victorious, and eventually that will come, which tells us that if Europe and America are not going to stand by Israel when that war comes, something is going to happen there, not here. I mean, this is something you need to remember. What do you think Iran's response will be to the strike last night in Syria? Well, they're threatening. They already said, let me explain something about the Iranians. They don't like to make their hands dirty. They don't want any direct confrontation with countries. They don't want to waste Persian blood. They prefer to have someone else doing the job for them. So they're going to increase attacks from Lebanon and from Syria and Iraq and from the Houthis as much as they can. And we just a few hours ago, we had a UAV that exploded not far from the international airport of Ramon near Eilat. Unfortunately, there were several successful UAV attacks that thankfully did not cause much damage, but they were able to penetrate our air defense system right by the Red Sea and also up in the Upper Galilee. And they were aiming at some strategic targets, which I'm not at liberty to share with you right now. So that's what they're going to do. I don't believe that missiles will fly from Iranian soil. Look, we killed some very, very key personalities in the Iranian nuclear program and others on Iranian soil, and they haven't done anything from Iran towards us. Now, they're going to try and use their proxies and their squads of assassins to try and do something to Israeli embassies and consulates in different countries. In fact, if you go to Telegram, right now, you will see that I kind of posted there two screenshots of someone on Twitter, on X, who suggests ways to revenge. And he's definitely giving a list of the Israeli embassies and consulates in specific countries where Iran should be operating. We have more questions. We have a question from Raymond is asking, does Israel have the capability to respond aggressively to the expected retaliation of Iran, and could Israel really deter Iran? First of all, as I said, Iran is not interested in a war. Iran is not interested, after all the years and the billions of dollars they have invested in Hezbollah and in their other proxies, they don't want us to eliminate them. So Iran is very careful to not cross certain lines. Now, we have increased our steps. They might increase theirs. but it's not to the point where we need to be afraid of our very existence with them, okay? This is not the case. They're not going to use anything that is completely going to change the equation here. But they know that we have hundreds of nuclear warheads that we will not hesitate to use if we feel threatened, they will, you know, pose an existential threat. That's something they need to remember. Samantha said, "I read on your Telegram that Israel won't hesitate to use nukes." I just said that. "I agree. Protect Israel at all costs. Do you think that will happen?" No, I don't think that in this war we're going to use nukes against Iran. Remember, Iran has to be there to join Russia for the Ezekiel war. That's the Persia in the Ezekiel war account. So I'm not convinced that we will do that on this one. We have any American weapons or artillery from where is it? Any American weapons or artillery from the Afghanistan withdrawal been used against Israel? No, but something else came from some other places, which again, I cannot share with you now. But no, the American weapon is used against Americans and it is in the hands of the Taliban. So no. But I will tell you that we do know about American weapon that is in the hands of terrorists not far from America. These weapons were sent to Ukraine and somehow fell in the hands of the wrong people, and they were bought or purchased or whatever by terrorists that are now not far from you guys. So that's a different story which you have to deal with. Barbara is asking, has Israel increased its own production of weapons and ammunition so as to rely on, okay, well, yes. This is one of the main reasons we're not attacking Hezbollah right now is because we were short with ammunition and weapons, and we needed to restock and accumulate. And trust me, once we go after them, it's when we know that we have enough for at least 6 months of war, because wars are no longer short wars. The days of 6 days war and 30 days war and 15 days war, these are over. Look what's going on in some other places such as Ukraine and Russia. And you need to be, look, even in Gaza, we're almost 6 months in there, and it'll take a few more months at least. And if we're going to ensure that they're not doing anything again, we're going to have to stay there for at least two more years. So those days are over. It's not going to be short. It's not going to be easy. And we need to restock. We do sell weapons to the world. So of course we are able to manufacture things but we need to keep them. In fact, at the beginning of the war, I'll give you a secret. We went to the port, and some of the containers that were aimed towards the Philippines, containers with Israeli weapon that they purchased, we had to put halt it and use it. So they'll get theirs in the future. But what I'm saying is that we knew that there is a need and we had to postpone any shipment. Amir, Anne is asking here, how will this war ever end with how indoctrinated the Palestinian people are? Won't they just keep reforming to Hamas? Yes, you're right. I think that this war will end only when we decisively destroy all the terrorists and stay on the ground to make sure that this cannot happen again. Now, and I've said that before on some other platforms, it will take long time, maybe a whole generation, to get people that are not poisoned to grow up and replace a generation that was breastfed by poison, anti-Semitism, and Nazism. And look, we've seen it on October 7th. We've seen how the Gazans reacted to what happened, and we've seen it with, you know, testimonies of the hostages that were released. It's not just the terrorists, it's the population, it's the civilian population. I mean, the nurses inside hospitals, when they saw hostages coming, they were ecstatic, in a, you know, some joy unspeakable. It's unbelievable. Something has to change. And the only way you can change it is when you defeat them and take land, because that's the thing that makes them understand that they're defeated. Not, they don't care about human life. I mean, somebody dies, another one is born. When you take land, when you resettle it with your people, that's when they know they lost. And honestly, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to help anyone who wants to leave, and we need to put our own people settle in Gaza, because this is the only way to defeat them. The only way. I know how they think. I used to be an officer in the military government in Jericho, in the West Bank. Trust me, I know the Palestinian very well. I'm the one, on behalf of the Israeli military government, I'm the one who was there at the border crossing to welcome and have the Palestinian president enter into the West Bank from Jordan. I was there. I know how they think. I know how they... Trust me, when you take land, this is it. Now, more questions. We have KT's asking, so do you expect Iran to attack Israel directly? No. As I said, Iran cannot afford messing with Israel directly. This is exactly why Iran developed its proxies. These are militaries of non-Persians. They don't want to waste Iranian blood. They have second grade, third grade. They have those that are dispensable. So they're using them, Afghans and Pakistanis and Iraqis and Syrians and Palestinians and Lebanese. Only when they will be gone, that's when they will use their own soldiers. So, I mean, it's against their doctrine to attack us directly. First, it'll take them long to get to Israel. Even the fastest rocket, it'll take it 7 minutes at least, which is not that productive, because we can defend ourselves when it's that from that far. Is it true that all Israeli citizens are being told to prepare for going without electricity for several weeks? It is true that in northern Israel, we are preparing for at least 3 to 7 days of no electricity in case a war with Hezbollah will start and they will hit some of our infrastructures. Yes, it is true. Not all of Israel, and not for weeks. It's predominantly northern Israel for up to 1 week. Yes, it's true. It is true. Stephanie's asking, what is the political strategy Israel seeks to take on the world stage within the United Nations? We are concerned about the Jew hatred on the rise. There's no strategy that will ever work in the UN. The UN stands for United Nothing, unnecessary. It's an anti-Semitic body. They are assisting Hamas, if anything. They are indoctrinating Palestinian kids in their United Nations Relief and Work Association schools and hospitals. They are as bad as Hamas is. I'm not expecting anything from the UN. Israel has to fight, defeat, and move on, and that's it. We cannot deal with that. Now, one of the main... You need to understand the UN General Assembly decisions, they have no teeth, they are not binding, nothing. But what we need to be concerned about is the United Nations Security Council. And over there, this is where we really, truly need the help of America to veto those very anti-Israeli decisions. It's very, it's amazing to me that Russia can destroy Ukrainian cities and kill hundreds of citizens on a monthly basis, and no one is talking about that, and there's no decision adopted about that. In fact, the United Nations still did not really condemn Hamas. And what happened in the last vote is that they separated the ceasefire from the return of the hostages. These were two different things. What we need is to make them one. You will get a ceasefire when we get our hostages back. That's it. But if you disconnect them, then that's it. You'll never get them back. And that's what they need to know. You want a ceasefire now? You'll get it right now. Give us all the hostages right now. they don't, no ceasefire. That's it. It's very simple. But they're hypocriticals, and they don't do that, unfortunately. I see Donna is asking, can they flood the tunnels if they know there are no hostages there? Yes, they can. Tunnels that are not far from the sea have been flooded. Tunnels that are quite far from the sea have been blown up, destroyed completely. Yes, we have done that. We have teams of very well-trained soldiers that know how to combat under the ground and know how to make sure it's all clear. In Khan Yunis, half of the combat was under the ground, not above the ground. We killed hundreds of terrorists, and that's how we did things. Sherry's asking, why don't other countries put pressure on Hamas to release those hostages? Because other countries are hypocritical, because they don't really care. Anything that can harm Israel, Israel will always be treated differently on a different, you know, scale. You will expect from us something you'll not expect from anyone else. And we are so used to it. The Israelis used to be very concerned about public opinion and about world opinion. After October 7th, we're not concerned anymore. We're different people. What happened to us made us understand that this is the most justified war ever. And by the way, for those of you who are concerned about genocide, there's no genocide. If anything, look at the latest deal in the Shifa hospital, where we killed hundreds of terrorists. We almost captured 1,000 of them alive, and we haven't killed a single patient or doctor. In fact, the terrorists were hiding behind the patients and the doctors. We were able to find alternative places, bring equipment. I have footage of Israeli soldiers carrying beds and oxygen tanks and other things to make sure that the patients are not harmed so that we can go after the terrorists. That's not what a country that is into genocide is doing. And by the way, if we were so much into genocide, the war wouldn't be lasting that long. Trust me. The Palestinians are the only people who cry out genocide, and their number is skyrocketing along the years. If you want to know what a genocide is, look at the Holocaust. You know, when the 2/3 of Europe's Jewry was, exterminated, and numbers were dropped. That's a different case. But who cares about truth, about facts? Who cares about that? It's all about slogans and chanting, and it's crazy. But it is what it is. It is diabolic. It is very demonic in its nature. And you need to understand, this is how it works. Anne is asking, is Israel taking back Gaza? Anne is asking, is Israel taking back Gaza? What is Israel planning for the strip of land? Well, we are taking back Gaza first just to destroy Hamas and kill the terrorists and clean the area from them so they don't, regroup and do another October 7th to us, because they vowed to do that, by the way. They said, if we can, we'll do it again and again and again. So that's what we're doing. Now, what's going to happen the day after? We're not sure yet. First of all, let us finish them. Then we'll take care of things. Hamas is not going to give up easily. They don't want anyone else to rule but them. The Palestinian Authority from Ramallah sent its officers. Hamas killed them. We offered some Bedouin tribal leaders to take control. Hamas killed them. So right now, the only way to rule and control is for us to be there, because we are able to fight them. We see Renee is asking, is there a Russian presence in this war physically? The Russian presence is not in this war. They're on the Golan Heights, but they were there even before. If you follow me, you know that. So no, there are no Russians on the ground. Trust me, the Russians have enough places to be right now, and they are short of soldiers. And so this is the last place Russia wants to be right now. So no, there's no Russian presence in this war, but we do have Russians that are training the Syrian military. They're training them on the Syrian part of the Golan Heights and over there. So, they were there for the last few years anyway. It's not part of this war. We have Sylvia asking, how was Hamas able to build all these tunnels without detection? Look, a lot is going to be discussed. You know, this is one of those things. We knew about tunnels. We knew. But look, we knew about one. They had five. So when you see them taking dirt out and you think there's one, when we now entered and found out it's five, this is what it is what it is. You know, we couldn't really measure exactly how much dirt was taken and calculated how many tunnels they have. We were surprised. Yeah, I must admit, we were surprised at the length and the number of tunnels. How was Hamas able? Okay, Izzy is asking, does Israel know where Sinwar is? We know more or less where he is, yes. Unfortunately, Sinwar, the leader of Hamas in Gaza, is surrounding himself with hostages. And unfortunately, we know that. And so if we want them alive, we cannot do anything to him right now. This is it. Now, he's not surrounding himself with dead bodies. That he left in other places. But with the soldiers and with the young women, oh, yes. And I'll say something that is horrible. But those young soldiers, young female women that are held by Hamas right now are the trophy for all of Sinwar's people, sexually. I mean, they're being not just harassed, they're being raped on a daily basis. And I can't believe the world is saying nothing about all of these things. We have testimonies of so many of them that have been released, and we know it's a practice. Not only that they raped so many people and then killed them on October 7th, but we know for a fact that they are raping the hostages. And this is what we have to deal with, monsters. June is asking, when the IDF goes into Rafah, do you believe they'll find the remainder of the hostages? Look, there's not too many options left. There's only two places left untouched by the IDF. It's the central refugee camps and it's Rafah itself. We took care of Khan Yunis. We took care of the northern part of Gaza and Gaza City. These are the two places left. So obviously, they're in one of these two places. We believe Rafah is a better option because Rafah has a large concentration of everyone we moved from the north. And now it's very densely populated, and it's the best way for Sinwar to hide because it'll take lots of Palestinian civil casualties for us to get through and get him. This is why there's so much against Israeli entrance to Rafah, because that's going to be the end of Hamas for sure. Renee, how long will it take the IDF to accomplish its goals in Rafah? Look, in Rafah, we have about 1.2 million people. We need to move them 2.5 miles away from the city and then go in and clean the city. That's what we need. We moved them already 15 miles or 20 miles from northern part of the Gaza Strip. So 2.5 miles shouldn't be a problem, but it's a challenge. And this is one of the reasons why we haven't gone into Rafah yet, is because we need to first make sure the shelters and the places are prepared. And then we want to be there to make sure that those that are moving to the safe zone are not terrorists. And then we go in and we finish the job. Look, what happened in the Shifa hospital was epic because they told us in the interrogation, we had no clue. We did not expect you coming back to Shifa hospital. We thought that you'll never do that. And that's why thousands of terrorists were there. I mean, weapons were in the maternity ward, in the MRI rooms, in all the wards of the hospital. We found unbelievable amount of weapon and explosives and hand grenades and AK-47 and mortar shells. I mean, this is not a hospital. It's a terror base. All their hospitals are terror bases. And we right now, even as we speak in the Nasser hospital in Khan Yunis, they're surrendering by the dozens, walking out because they understand this is it. Folks, the terrorists now understand that there's no safe zone for them, and that's exactly what we want them to understand. And so once we move into Rafah, they'll come out of their holes, and we will take care of business. Vicky's asking, what is Israel going to do with all of the terrorists that have been captured since October 7th? First of all, we have several detention centers, camps in Israel for them. We are getting valuable information from the interrogation, and they're awaiting their trial. And hopefully, capital punishment will be enacted, and they are all going to meet the 72 virgins. Now, some people are criticizing me for being a Christian yet wanting the terrorists to die. Let me make it very clear. Look, even let's say I now went out and killed 50 people, okay? And then I became a believer. Let's say I was not a believer, I converted, got saved, whatever. I'm singing hallelujah all the way to prison. Do you think that I'm going to walk free? You think that I'm not going to have to pay for what I just did? Look, anyone that killed people, that murdered people, may be able to escape the second death by accepting Christ, but not the first one. The first one will be determined by the law or by the age or by his health. But it's the only way to really enjoy that gift of eternal life is when we skip the second death, okay? So they deserve death according to the law, and they should get it, and they should have it. All of them, all of the terrorists, all of those who murdered brutally thousands of people, yes, they have to be killed. And if along the way, if anyone is getting saved, great, then he will skip the second death, okay? That's wonderful. I wish to see as many. But don't be mistaken. There are consequences to the things that you do in this life. And that has to be clearly stated. We have, what do you expect to take place in the Ramadan comes to an end? The Ramadan will come to an end. We may have 3 more days for their Eid al-Fitr, which is their holiday. Once they see that the moon is there and they got 3 days, and that's it. We're moving into Rafah. I know that because I know enough people in the military, and I know enough soldiers that received their paper that calls them to go back on a certain date. It's going to happen. The Rafah will come. Rafah maneuver will come right after Ramadan is over. Trust me. More questions. Dixie, where will the remaining Palestinians go when the war is over? What do you mean? The remaining Palestinians can stay where they are if they're not going to be terrorists. We don't tell Palestinians, disappear, okay? If you want to live in peace, move aside, let us kill the terrorists, and then go back and live. Now, if you have no place to live, go and find somewhere else. But one thing is for sure, we will not tolerate terrorism and terrorists and all this genocidal thoughts against us. It's not going to happen. We went through a second Holocaust. It won't happen again. That's for sure. They need to understand that. Yes, it's almost 6 months into the war, but we haven't changed our minds. This is what is going on here. People are asking me here, how extensive are the underground tunnels in Lebanon as compared to Gaza? Well, that's a wonderful question. Let me tell you something. We believe that there are gigantic tunnels from southern Lebanon into northern Israel. And we also believe that there are some tunnels from Judea and Samaria, Palestinian cities, into central Israel. We believe that. We woke up from the dream that anyone is deterred. We understand today that we must take it as for granted. I mean, we must take it as this is it. They have it and they'll use it. We cannot take chances anymore. We already found tunnels a few years ago on the Lebanese border. So we know they exist. So Israel is ready. The best way to deal with that is to clean southern Lebanon from terrorists. And once you move in with your infantry and with your tanks, and that's the only way to then scan the area. If you find shafts, go in, destroy the tunnels one after the other. There is no alternative to a ground maneuver. Hamas knows that now. Hezbollah will know that in the near future. No alternative. It has to be done if you want to find what the enemy is preparing for you. We went to bed with dogs and we woke up with lice. We won't do it again. This is it. It's not going to happen again. Maybe we have, you know, okay, so some of you might want to know what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday is some top generals of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, those that are in charge of the training and arming of the militias or of the proxies that Iran created, those generals were meeting, convening in a place adjacent to the embassy. They call it a consulate, but it's not a consulate. It's a terror base. And Israel decided to go after them. And it followed series of attacks from the proxies of in Iraq and in Lebanon that caused us to do that. I mean, as I said in the beginning of this hour, some very strategic targets nearly were damage. Nearly. It was a miracle that there was just a light damage to the surrounding and not to the actual specific strategic thing that we had, both on the Red Sea and in northern Israel. And we decided we're not going to wait. We need to let them know that it's not going to go unanswered. And sure enough, they felt very, very, look, they felt that they can go to embassies and convene and plot against us, and they're immune. They're not immune anymore. That's it. Embassies cannot be places where terrorists plot against us. It's over. It's the same thing in Beirut. I'm telling you up front, the Iranian embassy in Beirut is a gigantic target right now. And they know that. And right now, they're already working on security measures. It's the same in Baghdad, and it's the same also in Sana'a, in Yemen. We will go after every country where Iranian Revolutionary Guards officers are sitting, meeting, and plotting how to arm our enemies, train our enemies, finance our enemies. And that's what happened. I mean, I think I have a couple of videos to show you what happened yesterday, exactly, you know, 23 hours ago. So let's see. So, listen, the amazing thing is that we were so precise in the way we hit them with F-35s that fired those rockets that none of the embassies around got hurt, and not even the Iranian embassy building itself. We destroyed only the annex, which they called consulate, but we know it wasn't. So this is what happened. By the way, I've got a photo of all of the main figures from the Revolutionary Guard that were killed last night. Let me see. There you go. These are not the only ones. There were some Syrians and Lebanese Hezbollah ones, part of this whole team. And trust me, they were not there to meet and talk about the weather or climate change. They were plotting against us. We know that. We know exactly who these people are. And they are paying for what they have been doing. Let me see. I want to, you know, once again, tell you guys, if you want to know the truth about what is going on in this war, I urge you to download Telegram. In fact, let me show you a short video of how you can do it. I mean, I can explain to you. It's very, very easy. You download the Telegram app, you put your number there, you search for Behold Israel channel, you find I'm almost having 500,000 subscribers. It's actually 496 almost. And this is how you can follow me there. Listen, this is the only platform that allows me to write what I want and to show videos that I want. All the other platforms are shadow banning me. They're limiting me. And they became places of, you know, neo-Nazism on Twitter and, you know, Instagram. It's unbelievable what I see there. I only read stuff there, but I don't write anything there. I prefer to give you all the news and all the truth that you need to know on Telegram. So take a look at this barcode. You see this QR code. Scan it. And by the way, I also want to remind all of you, if you still want to join us, me and Pastor Barry Stagner, we are going to teach on board a beautiful boat this coming October. We're going to have a Mediterranean cruise, and we're going to teach on the books of Daniel and Revelation from my brand new book, Discovering Daniel, and the one that came earlier, Revealing Revelation. So this is the new book. I urge you also to get it. That's how you can take a look at the new book. There's also a QR code for that if you want to. This is the amazing thing about all of this. People are asking me what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. You should know what's going to happen. If Daniel 2,600 years ago could know what's going to happen because the Lord revealed that to him, why should we fret about that? I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly what God has set for Israel as a plan. Daniel is the most amazing book of the Bible, the most apocalyptic book of the Old Testament, where God gave him an amazing revelation of the entire future of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation all the way to the very end. So if you want, take a look at this book. We have not only the book, but also a study guide, a workbook, it says. And you can, as small groups, you can actually, just like you did with Revealing Revelation, you can come together and study that. And this brings me peace. It brings me peace to see that God has already determined. Hamas will not determine. Hezbollah will not determine. Ayatollahs will not determine the future of Israel. God has already foretold the future of Israel. And this is why it is super, super important. Listen, we're running out of time. I answered as many questions as I can. I want to tell you something about Connect, because we're going to starting from next month, several programs from that place. Take a look at these new ones that we're going to have. We're going to have Q&A with Pastor Barry and myself answering Bible questions and current events. I'm going to start a weekly podcast. We're going to meet with people and sit and talk with them with interviews and host them. We will also have regular Mideast updates a few times a week. We're going to have also a show that is called Explore the Bible. We will sit together with Pastor Rick Yon and try to understand why and how should we study the Bible, all the different translations, where is the Bible coming from, how do we know it's reliable, authentic, and accurate, all of these things. Every week we will get into these things, every other week. And then, of course, the very beloved roundtable with Jan Markell and Barry Stagner, Mark Olane, myself, and maybe more people talking about Bible prophecy and these things. And the last thing is, some of you may not know the different books that I wrote and others that I wrote with Steve Yeun, such as the thriller books, as well as the ones that I had with Barry Stagner and others. If you want to understand the story behind these books, what led us to write the books and what were the challenges and all of that, we're going to do once a month Author's Corner and talk about those as well. So there's so much that we're going to do in Connect, but you will stay connected. We're going to teach you, we're going to teach the local believers, and we're going to bring the truth about Israel from Israel. And this is epic. And we want to thank you for being there, supporting, praying, and standing for the truth. So I want to thank you for being here, listening to this. Share. Take your finger, press the share button right now, either on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube right now. That will help. It's not that difficult. Thank you. God bless you, and shalom from Galilee, from Israel. Bye-bye.
Amir Sarfati and Behold Israel channel on Telegram. Here you will receive daily updates and audio messages from Amir. You can also take part in our community and reply with comments. Getting started is easy. Simply download Telegram from the App Store, then visit the Behold Israel Telegram channel in your browser. From there, click Preview Channel, then click Join. That's it. See you on Telegram.